Okay, let's go ahead and get started. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter number 5. We're going to begin at. And before we get started, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. And then we will get into our study. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Thank you for your blessings. And we do thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the time that we have together in church, the fellowship we've already had. And Lord, I just pray, ask you that you please be with us as we meet together, Lord, as we study your word, that you would just guide and direct us, Lord. Help these things to find their way into our hearts, Lord, and Lord, that they would draw us closer to you. I pray, Lord, that you would please be with the other classes, Lord, and help those as they're teaching, Lord. I pray with these children that they would be drawn to you, Lord. I just pray that you do a work in their hearts, Lord, that they would come to know you at a young age, Lord. I pray, Lord, you please be with those who are still on their way out today. Watch them as they come out. And Lord, be with those who aren't able to be with us due to work and travel and different things. Lord, help us as a church to be a witness in this community, Lord. I pray as we're going to be doing the preparations for the Paddy's Day Parade, I just pray that you would help us as we do this outreach, Lord, that the gospel tracts and things would find their way to the right people, Lord, and that you would just do a work in hearts there, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you'd use us as you see fit, Lord. Help us now, I pray, once again, in Jesus' name, and amen. Okay, so we are in our marriage study. Are we there yet? And we aren't there yet. We're still working on it. And so anyway, we're in lesson 10, Syncing Your Itineraries. And it is in it we're talking about busyness. Because in relationships, especially in marriage, busyness has a way of kind of breaking down the marriage, so to speak. Whenever people get too busy, they don't have time for one another, and there is relational drift that happens as a result. And so we said that whenever there is relational or emotional drift, that connection is missing, there's a buildup of stress rather than constantly coming together and bearing one another's burdens and helping each other to work through things. We bear it on our own, and that stress ends up creating tension in the relationship, and we get more and more distant. Then we said that there's neglect and resentment that results from it because of being so busy. We're not around each other. We're not spending time together like we used to. Then we start to resent one another. And that's a danger to relationships, danger to marriage. And so we were challenged to clarify our priorities, make sure to put the first things first. And of course, in all of our relationships, our relationship with the Lord is the most important. That we can't have a good and healthy relationship with anyone else unless we're walking with the Lord. And that is the basis, the foundation for all the rest of our relationships. So prioritize that. If we're letting other things creep into our life that is taking us away from the Lord, then all the rest of relationships, everything else in our life is going to suffer as a result. Everything is based on the foundation of our walk with God. And then we said that after the Lord, our priority is our spouse. And a lot of times people get this backward and they put their kids before their spouse, their job before their spouse, or sometimes the spouse ends up being third or fourth or fifth place priority. We take one another for granted because we're committed. We've said this is till death do us part. They're not going anywhere, so it doesn't matter how I treat them. And that's a good recipe for divorce. But anyway, the Lord is our first priority. Our spouse is our second. And then our children, our job, and everything else comes later on. And so today we are going to be looking at number two on our outlines. Does everybody have outlines? Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, number two on our outline is to redeem the time. So let's look at our passage in Ephesians chapter number 5, verses 15 through 18. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And so in that it said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. What does it mean to redeem the time? Anyone want to take a stab at that one?
Use the time.
Okay, to use it. What does the word redeem mean? Okay, to take back, to take possession of something that's yours, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you win a prize, you go and you redeem that prize with like the winning ticket or whatever, right? It's like, okay, this belongs to me. I'm going to go and claim it. Okay? And so it's to take ownership. It's to take possession of something. And whenever we think of this idea of redeeming the time, it means that we are taking charge of our schedules, that we are taking charge of the clock rather than allowing it to run us. Does that make sense? Because I think most people are a slave to the clock. Most people are allowing time to run them rather than them run time. And so what ends up happening is our priorities aren't decided, aren't set. Instead, they just however things kind of shake out. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so we're not walking intentionally. We're not walking purposely. We're allowing life to run us. Okay? And whenever we do that, it causes us to have skewed priorities, messed up priorities. Because the things that are the most demanding in our life, the things that try their hardest to get our attention, are not the things that are the most important. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because generally the things that are most important are the least demanding. Does that make sense? Because, for instance, your children are quite important, right? But they're not going to be the loudest thing in your mind. They're not going to be they might be the loudest thing in your house, right? But they're not going to be like necessarily the loudest thing whenever you are setting your priorities, because you've got the bills that are constantly at the front of your mind. You've got the boss making demands of your time, and you've got everything that is trying to tell you what is important and what's prioritized, and your family, your wife, and even your walk with the Lord starts getting pressed down and pushed out of the picture. Okay? I think a good illustration, I think it is, it just kind of popped into my mind here, but whenever you consider how Jesus is presented in Scripture, okay? Whenever Jesus is going about, he's doing miracles, he's teaching, he's doing many different things, he is never demanding of anybody, okay? And what I mean by that, he's not saying, you have to follow me, you have to do this. He's not forcing anybody to do anything. He is offering himself. And in the passage that I often bring out in John chapter number 6, he says that they are to eat his body and to drink of his blood, and he's using it figuratively. He says that his words are spiritual and they are truth, okay? He says this, and then the people respond and say, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And they turn away from him and they follow him no more, okay? And so then he turns to his disciples and he says, will you go away also? And they said, to whom will we go? Who else has the words of eternal life? Mm-hmm. So if you're familiar with that passage, basically what Jesus is doing is he's saying, the choice is yours. Here I am. Either you follow me or you don't, but I'm not going to chase after you. Mm-hmm. Okay? And he wants us to accept him, to follow him by choice. God does not force anyone to follow him. He doesn't force anyone to serve him. Mm-hmm. And so with that, God should be our top priority. He should be first. But he is not going to rope us, tie us, force us, demand us. And so if we're not careful in prioritizing him, everything else will try to drag us away. Okay? Kind of another illustration of this principle is going back to the Garden of Eden. God says, you're going to eat off every tree in the garden. You have free reign over all of my creation. Stay away from the one tree. Simple enough, right? Okay. And so everything else was available. It was free for the taking. They had access to it. But what were they drawn to? The one tree, the one that they were said not to eat of it. And so the serpent comes, beguiles Eve, tells her, God didn't really say this. He didn't really mean this. He's not really good. So why don't you eat off of this tree? And so at the detriment of all humanity, I guess we could say, all the good things of God wasn't as loud, wasn't as in their face, wasn't as demanding of their time and attention as the one thing that shouldn't have been. Okay? So do you see what I'm getting at with all this?
Yeah.
So whenever it comes to our relationships, we're going to find that oftentimes the noisiest and most demanding things are not the things that should be in top priority.
Yeah.
But because of how noisy and demanding they are, it is easy to allow them to come into that place of top priority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so that's where it says, see then that you walk circumspectly. That means that we are aware that we're paying attention. We are looking around. We're saying, okay, what is important? What do I need to be paying attention to? What is it that I need to be pouring my time into? What is it that is taking my attention away from what it should be on? Okay? Because if you're walking circumspectly, you are looking around, you're taking stock, you're evaluating.
Yeah.
And I believe that is something that we should be constantly doing. I'm not saying overthinking. I'm not saying anxiety and fear and worry. But I'm saying that it takes us looking at our life, taking stock of what's in our life, and saying, is this benefiting my walk with the Lord or hindering it? Is this benefiting my relationship with my wife, my husband? Is it hindering it? Is this helping my relationship with my children? Is this rightly representing God to my children or wrongly? And so we are walking circumspectly. We are looking around and we're choosing to do the things that are going to be the most beneficial for the things that is most important. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And that is how we redeem the time. We are taking it back. We're saying, I'm going to use my time for things that are beneficial. I'm going to use my time for the things that are important. I'm going to choose to use my time for things that actually have a lasting impact. Right? And so whenever we think about redeeming the time, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about making a good use of the time, because no matter who you are, where you're at in life, we all have the same amount of time, same amount of minutes every day.
Mm-hmm.
And what is how our lives turn out, I guess, is how we budget those minutes. Because we can look at people who have vastly different experiences in life and they have the same amount of time to use.
Mm-hmm.
And so what makes a difference is how they use their time. Okay? So getting into our lesson here, redeem the time. Not only does Ephesians 5 instruct us to walk circumspectly, seeing the big picture, but it also instructs us to redeem the time, and it stresses that we need wisdom in how we spend our time. Colossians 4 repeats these instructions, and Colossians 4, 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Okay? And so whenever we see this connected, redeem the time, well, what should my time be going toward? What is it that I should be using it for? How do I prioritize my time? We need wisdom. Okay? And the Bible tells us, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not.
Yeah.
And so that's where prayer comes in. We're asking God, God, I need wisdom. How do I need to order my day? How do I need to set my calendar? How do I need to prioritize things to get the most benefit, the most blessing out of the time that I've been given? Okay? So using your time wisely and redeeming time toward what matters most requires that you are intentional in how you use it. And so bringing it to relationships, bringing it to marriage, one good way to redeem your time, I'm not sure if this is underlined in our, I'm noticing, I said this last week, but in my lesson book here, usually it has what the blanks are, the words that are in the blanks underlined, and in this lesson it does not, so I'm not sure what's blanked in yours and what's not. Okay. So number two is redeeming the time. Letter A, schedule time together. So your blank there is schedule. One of the best representations of your real priorities is your schedule. You can say, I prioritize my family, I prioritize God. But if we look at your schedule, we can see what your priorities really are. Does that make sense? If you say God is first in my life, but you go throughout the week and you never actually have any time where you're pursuing after God, that kind of reveals what your priorities really are. God is first in my life. He's the first place, but I never read. I never pray. I never spend any time with him. My thoughts are never on him. Is he your top priority? No, right? My family is my priority. My wife is my number one priority. I want to make sure that she knows I love her, and I'm going to if I don't spend time with her, if I'm not intentionally spending time with her, is she a priority? Mm. Okay. Now, we can't necessarily take it out like a pie chart and say, okay, where's all of our time spent? Because most everyone's going to spend 8 or 10 hours a day at work, 12 if you're working shifts, right? Mm-hmm. Say, oh, okay, well, that's your priority. Well, why are you working? What is your motive? Because if your motive is I'm working to provide for my family, right? If you're doing it for your wife, if you're doing it for your children, that's a lot different than that's my source of identity. This is where I go to feel wanted, to feel needed, to feel special, and my family doesn't do that for me, so I don't care. You see how there's a difference there? Mm-hmm. And so motive shows a lot about it. But anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent. So one of the best representations of your real priorities is your schedule. What we merely suggest we want to do sometime rarely happens. But when we actually schedule time for it, it gets done. Okay? And we find that good intentions doesn't actually accomplish anything. The old saying is the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You've heard that? And we've all heard people say, someday I'm going to fill in the blank. Okay? And so there's not a definite time, there's not a schedule, there's not any intention to it, well, anything more than intention to it. And so more than likely, it's not going to happen. And we can even put milestones. It's like, okay, whenever I get this promotion, I'm going to be able to spend more time at home with the kids. Right? Whenever I do this, we're going to be able to go on this trip together, and we are going to be able to spend more time together and have quality time together. If I can just, and we have all these different things that are good intentions, right? But oftentimes that doesn't actually happen, mm-hmm. Okay? It takes more than just saying it. It needs to actually be planned and put on a schedule, right? It's like, okay, new year, I'm going to have New Year's resolution. We're going to spend more time, quality time together as a family, okay? You guys can probably relate to this, right? Well, spend more quality time together as a family. And then you're 3 months in. And have you actually spent any more quality time together as a family? Right? But if you look at it as far as scheduling it in, we're going to spend more quality time together as a family by doing this. We're going to make Thursday night family night. And so every Thursday night without fail, we're going to sit together. We're going to eat together as a family. We're going to watch a movie together. We're going to play games together. We're going to do something together Thursday night without fail. Every week we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. Then that's something that's measurable. That's something that can actually get done, right? But if you just have the good intention of we're going to do this and never actually putting it on the schedule, it's not going to happen, right? So what is scheduled gets done. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I say that as someone who is horrible about scheduling things. Okay. So anyway, for an illustration, a good financial manager is going to budget, right? And as they budget, they are going to first, they're going to pay the mortgage because you got to have a place to live. They're going to pay the utilities. You got to have heat. You got to have lights on. They're going to set out money for food because you've got to eat, right? And there are certain things that you have to have, and they're going to go down through the line. They're going to budget all of those things. And then whenever you get to the bottom of it, then you have whatever's left over is going to be your discretionary spending, right? It's like if we have anything left over, then we can go out and get takeaway, right? Then we can go out and buy 5 euro cups of coffee if everything else is covered. But if you don't budget, you're going to end up going out and getting the takeaway every day, getting the 5 euro cups of coffee, and at the end of the month, you can't pay the light bill. And lots of people do that, right? Okay, but we're not talking about money, are we? We're talking about time. So how do we spend our time? And this is where scheduling comes in. It's budgeting, right? And so we're going to say, this is where I'm going to allot this. This is where this time is going to be spent on this thing to make sure it gets done. And kind of like our illustration there with money, if we don't budget, if we don't schedule in time for our spouse, time for our family, they get the leftovers. And then the lights get turned out. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. And so a conscientious spouse will designate quality time together before allowing their schedule to be filled with matters of lesser importance. The Bible encourages us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Psalm 19, verse 12. If we are to wisely spend our time, we must carry a sense of the fleeting nature of time so we invest it in what matters most. The Bible tells us that life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and it vanishes away. And the older I get, and I'm not old yet, but the older I get, the more real that is to me. And especially you that have younger children and everything, it's amazing how quickly they grow up. Okay? And, of course, we're talking about marriage, but we can't talk about marriage without talking about children as well. And so whenever you realize it's not going to be long before those children are grown, you need to prioritize putting time with them. But here's another key to this whenever we talk about marriage. Whenever those children are grown, you still have several years with that person you married. Mm-hmm. What kind of relationship are you going to have whenever it's just the two of you again? Right? And I've seen so many people who prioritized everything else besides each other, and whenever the children are grown, they have nothing. If you look at the statistics, it's amazing how many marriages end around the 20 or 25 year mark. And you're thinking, okay, they've been together 20, they've been together 25 years. How in the world is it that they're falling apart now? Well, that's whenever the kids are gone. And they no longer have a united purpose. They're no longer both focused on the kids. And now they're looking at each other and they're saying, what do we do? Because they have not cultivated a relationship with each other. They have not prioritized each other. They have prioritized their children. They have prioritized their job and getting their house and their car and getting their promotion, getting all these other things. And they have never actually connected together, bonded together, built a life together, so that whenever their children are gone, they have no common purpose, no connection. Okay? Okay, so whenever we realize how fleeting time is, how quickly it goes by, then it tells us we need to prioritize what we do have. Not only that, but we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Right? We can say, oh, the kids grew up fast, and it's going to be 20 years, 25 years before we know it, but what if you don't make it 20 or 25 years? How are you going to use the time that you have now? Mm-hmm. Because whenever you're buried, no one's going to be too concerned about what you did at work, how big your house was, how big of a retirement account you had, right? It's going to be the relationship you had with them. Okay. So you cannot build a strong marriage with no investments of time. One of the best ways to purposefully and wisely invest time in your marriage is by creating routines, daily, weekly, and seasonal routines that draw you closer to each other. Whenever you first get together, when you're dating or newly married, a lot of things come natural, right? There's excitement, there's novelty, right? Things come natural. And I think our culture and entertainment has made it that if things are out of habit or things that are scheduled, they're not romantic. Does that make sense? That it's the things that happen that just happen, right? It's whenever things aren't planned, aren't scheduled. There's a word for it, and it's eluding me at the moment. But anyway, what is it? Spontaneous. There you go. And so we equate spontaneity with romance and love and excitement. And you got this idea, if she really loved me, if he really loved me, then he would just do it. She would just do it, right? That's not realistic in marriage, okay? Especially whenever you've got jobs and kids and responsibilities. If it's not scheduled, it doesn't happen, okay? And so we kind of have to rewire our thinking on this. The things that happen naturally, the things that happen spontaneously whenever you're dating is probably not going to be there whenever you've been married for 10 years. Okay, and so you have to schedule time to be together. You have to schedule getaways. You have to schedule blocks of time where you can actually spend quality time together, even if it's just kind of a debriefing for the day of checking in and figuring out what's going on, where you're at, how things are going, knowing each other in that way. And it's points of connection that takes place. Okay? And so, as I've said all through the study, it is extremely easy to be roommates. Okay? Sharing a roof, even sharing kids, but having disconnected lives because you get so busy, you don't actually bind together, you don't actually intertwine your lives and know that much about each other. Okay? It takes time and it takes attention and it takes priority, I guess, for that to happen. And so a few suggestions for creating routines and habits in our marriages to strengthen them. We need to have at least a daily time together. Okay? If you're going to be sharing the most important relationship, it needs more than just a weekly tune-up, right? There needs to be daily time that you are spending together where you're able to disconnect from other things and put your attention solely on each other, okay? And I'm not saying hours or anything like that, but just even if it's a short check-in, but it's a good idea to have mealtimes together. It's amazing how, well, this is even a biblical principle, how often whenever people got together and connected and fellowshiped with one another, there's food involved. That's one reason why we eat so much together as a church around here, right? Because it does bring people together, it provides connection, and it gives a chance to communicate. And so with the advent of television and phones and all these different things, taking our attention is so common for everybody to just kind of go to their own spaces and never actually connect, right? And so if there's a time, come together, eat together, put your phones aside. And whenever you have children, mealtime may not be individual, undivided attention for each other. But I think it's still vital. And I think it's good for the children as well. Then in early evening or just before bed is another excellent time for connection. And you got to figure out what works for you. But say, okay, I want to have a time that we can just spend together, even if it's just drinking our coffee together of a morning. Or if it's just, you know, right before bedtime, let's have a 5-minute chat. How was your day? What happened? Catching up with one another. And that builds connection. It maintains connection. I think it's a good idea, too, for spouses to pray together. Doesn't have to be some kind of long, protracted whatever. How was your day? What's going on? How can I pray for you today? Have a moment of prayer. Go to bed. Those are good things that you can do. Weekly, planning a weekly date night is a great way, and it's probably one of the most important habits that you can set. It's hard when you have young children, right? This doesn't mean that you have to do anything extravagant. It doesn't mean you have to get dressed up and go out on the town. It might just be, okay, Friday night, me and you, we're going to sit down and we're going to watch this movie together. No phones, no nothing else. Me and you, shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, and we're going to watch this together. Or we're going to go out and we're going to take a walk, right? Or find something that you can enjoy where you're actually together. And you guys understand what the difference is between being in physical proximity and actually being together, right? Because you can be in the same room. You can even be side by side on the same chair and not actually be together. Your heart and your mind somewhere completely different, right? Some time where you can be together. And bonus points if you are able to actually go out away from the children, right? And spend a decent chunk of time every week, just the two of you together. I know with me and Les, Melody's a package deal anymore. You know, she's 4 years old. We're not getting anywhere without her. And so even where we went away on our little trip there last month, I think it was, she was there too. It's a package deal. We went up to Enniskillen there a few weeks ago, and Melody was there too. But for the most part, she's in the back. She's doing her own thing, and we can talk, we can discuss, we can spend time together, enjoy one another. And so those are things to prioritize. So short times daily, longer times weekly. I'm going to read this, but I've probably already said a lot of this, but you need undistracted time to talk to one another. It means setting your phone aside or turning it off, trying to pull away from the rest of the world for a little while, just to enjoy your spouse. And maybe I need to stress that. We need to enjoy our spouse. And I think if we're not careful, we don't continually have those points of connection, we cease to enjoy each other. We forget that when we first got together, we were each other's favorite person. And now we just tolerate each other. There's a problem there. You have to recognize that and get back to it. In addition to date nights, if you have children, you need to carve out undistracted family time. Once again, it's not how much money you spend, it's how much time you spend. And even with that, I think it's quality over quantity as well. Okay? They give some suggestions here. You can feed ducks at the park, make ice cream sundaes at home, read together as a family. Not only is this time important as a parent, but also build your marriage when you spend time together investing in your children. And so this is the idea of it's us together raising our family. Teamwork, right? Connection. Seasonally plan periodic times to get away with one another to focus on your marriage. It may be some kind of a couple's retreat or an out-of-town anniversary celebration or a monthly extra activity for just the two of you. And so these are things to build in. So it's weekly date nights, every day spending just a little bit of time together, and then having, whether it's monthly or quarterly or yearly or whatever, have something that you can put on the calendar and look forward to. Okay, this is going to be me and you. We're going to be spending this time together, plan it out, and build it up, I guess, would be a good way. Okay, it's exciting. It's on the calendar. We're looking forward to this. We're going to do this, right? And then make it a big thing. Okay, any questions or comments on what we've looked at so far? Okay, letter B. Listen to each other. Listen to each other. That's simple enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's difficult to do, right? It's something that isn't it the easiest things or the simplest things that we have the most trouble with? Because of their simplicity, we don't actually put any effort into them. Don't prioritize them. But anyway, perfect balance of time is a myth. Despite your best intentions, you will get out of balance in one or another area on a reasonably regular basis. That's because balance isn't static. It requires continual adjustments. So if you think of a tightrope walker, they're not able to walk across the tightrope because they have perfect balance, right? They're not just... But the entire time they're making corrections, a little bit this way, a little bit this way, a little bit this way. And I hate to compare marriage to a tightrope, okay? But the idea that we're getting to here is that of balance. It's constant corrections. We realize that we're dropping the ball in one area. We have to recognize that and correct it, right? Getting too far in this area, then we correct it, right? And so it's constant reevaluation. And with that, it takes both people investing, both people reevaluating, and both people willing to be called out. And that's a hard one, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, in a marriage, we have to realize that we are on the same team, not us versus them. And so the wife needs to be able to say, hey, I'm feeling a little neglected in this area. We haven't spent much time together lately. And the husband recognizing and saying, okay, I need to prioritize this. Instead of, honey, you know how busy things have been lately. My job's making all these demands. I can't spend time right now. Don't be so unreasonable. Isn't that how it often plays out? But whenever the wife says, I need more of your time, say, okay, I'm going to find a way to make that. Or whenever the husband says, hey, you've been so busy taking care of everything and you're doing a great job taking care of the home and the kids and doing all these things, but I miss spending time with you. Course correction, right? There needs to be a communication. We need to be able to listen to one another. And in order to listen to one another, that means that the person who recognizes it has to speak up, right? And the other person has to be willing to listen. And it takes both sides of that. And if you are accustomed to pushing back every time that you're confronted about something, they're not going to have the liberty to speak. And if you remain silent about things and never speak up, they're never going to be able to adjust because they're not going to know. And so it takes both sides. It takes communication. So you have to listen to each other, be willing to speak, be willing to listen. Does that make sense? Okay. And so the goal is not to achieve perfect balance, but being willing to make adjustments along the way. And it means obeying the command to walk in the Spirit. So something else that we have other than just our spouse in this situation is we also have the Holy Spirit within us. If we are a child of God, then the Holy Spirit will draw things to our attention. We'll bring conviction upon our lives when we step out of bounds. And we have to be willing to walk in the Spirit and to listen to the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And this is where our relationship with God is so important in our relationship with our spouse. Because the closer we are to God, the more that He is able to work in our lives to bring things to our attention so that we are able to respond to our spouse in a way that is going to cultivate a healthy relationship there. And so if you remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit as He convicts you that you're not investing enough time in your marriage, but it also requires that you remain open and listen to any concerns that your spouse raises, which I mentioned there a moment ago. So remember that the goal in redeeming the time is to understand and to do the will of the Lord, as we saw in Ephesians 5, 16 and 17. And when you're married, the will of the Lord is for you the will of the Lord for you includes investing time in your marriage and together seeking biblical priorities. Okay? So, any questions or comments on that? Okay, so our final section here, number three, practice the exchange life. Practice the exchange life. It's not humanly possible to determine and to live God-honoring priorities in our own strength. This is why God instructs us to be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5 and 18. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit. Okay? And I'll say this as a bit of a side note. There are religious traditions, I call it, okay, that focus so much on the Spirit filling that make it out as if it's something that is external, something that is visible, you know, speaking in tongues and doing miracles and all that, that's the filling of the Spirit. But whenever it talks about be filled with the Spirit, it means be under the Spirit's control. Okay? It means that you are allowing God to have His way in your life. It's that you are walking in Him, allowing the Holy Spirit to make those changes. Okay? And to be filled with the Spirit is illustrated in Ephesians 5:18 with a negative illustration. Okay? Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So what does alcohol do to a person? Okay? Okay, they lose control to the alcohol, right? And so what it does is it changes a person's personality. A person under the influence of alcohol is completely different, right? They behave differently. They say things they wouldn't normally say. They do things they wouldn't normally do. They behave differently under the influence of alcohol. So whenever it says, be filled with the Spirit, it's comparing it to that, meaning being under the Spirit's control. That it is going to change the way that you act, the way that you think, the way that you speak, because it is controlling you rather than your flesh controlling you. Does that make sense? You are yielding to the Spirit is another way that it says there. It's God, have your way in my life. I want you to change me. We find that, I believe it's in Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And I've often tried to quote and misquote the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, long-suffering, temperance. Okay? And so you've got all these, it says they're fruit of the Spirit, which means that as we are allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, those are the natural byproduct that comes from it. Okay? So whenever we are walking with God, walking in the Spirit, we become a lot more of those things. We start identifying more with the Spirit than what we did with the flesh. And you're going to be a lot better spouse that way. Okay? But whenever it talks about the exchange life here, it's saying that there's going to be some things that you set aside and some things that you take up. This comes back to what we're talking about with the priorities. Because there's going to be things that you say, these aren't important, these are. I'm going to set this aside. I'm going to emphasize this less so I can emphasize this more. Because if you remember, time is something that you're not going to get any more of or any less of. You have a set amount. So you have to figure out where you're going to invest it at. Okay? And so just as we were talking about with the Spirit here, we're going to have to decide, I'm going to put this off so I can take these things on. I'm going to say no to the flesh so the Spirit can have His way in my life. I'm going to not do this so the God can do this. And then whenever it comes to marriage, I'm going to spend less time at this so I can spend more time with my wife. Right? And so we see this exchange principle throughout Scripture. In Colossians chapter 3, God tells us to put off the old man and to put on the new man. Colossians 3, 9 and 10, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Ephesians 4 also gives this principle in Ephesians 4, 22 through 25, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So to have healthy relationships with others, we must practice the exchange life, which we put off the habits of our flesh and are renewed in our minds by God's word to serve one another. We must exchange self-will for a surrendered will to God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2, it says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And I want to just kind of interrupt the flow of what's going on here and say, as we're talking about these things, this isn't saying try harder and do more. Okay? Because this is the way Christianity a lot of times comes across. It's like, okay, I'm really doing a horrible job at this. I need to try harder. I'm really not doing well with this. I need to do more. And in reality, the Christian life isn't do more and try harder. It is trust more. Okay? It is putting our focus and our attention on God, and it is pursuing after Him and allowing these things to be the natural byproduct. Because you cannot live the Christian life by your own power, by your own ability. It is through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that whenever a person is saved, that he receives the Holy Spirit. Okay? That whenever a person is born again, whenever they place, the moment they place their faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within them, goes to work in their lives. And our part in it is choosing who we're yielding to. If we're going to continue following what the old man, what the flesh wanted to do, or what the Holy Spirit is having us to do. You find that whenever a person gets saved, there begins to be a battle that takes place inside of them, a bit of a tug of war that takes place. And our part as a Christian is determining who we're going to surrender to, who we're going to yield to. And the more often that you're yielding to the Holy Spirit when you're doing the things that God is leading you to do, the easier that becomes. And the more He works in our lives. Okay? Anyway. So we exchange human effort for spiritual power. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And so it says that He has given us divine power, right? So that we can do all things that pertain to life and godliness. He gives us the ability. Another place it says that He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Okay? So there's a work that He does in us, but we have to choose to allow Him to do that work. And that's where it comes back to being filled with the Spirit. Okay, so these exchanges only happen as we personally seek the Lord and spend time with Him. That is why just a few verses after teaching on this exchange principle, Colossians 3:16 instructs, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The more of God's word that is coming into you, the more that it's working and purifying and cleansing us and changing our perspective. As God's word fills our mind, we are able to have the spiritual relationship described in the second half of the verse, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When God when God's word dwells in you, it changes you. And so this brings us back full circle to where we started in clarifying and keeping our priorities, in particular, the priority of our marriage. We need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and this requires that we make seeking God our highest priority. So you see how this goes together? We seek God, we make him our priority. The more that we seek after him, the more he works in us, and the better we're able to take care of our spouse in that relationship. So syncing your itineraries in marriage is never automatic. It takes time and attention. Too many couples let the busyness of life steal their understanding of God's will and their commitment to seek it together. And so don't let that be you. So rather than pursuing together after God's will, we're pursuing all these other things apart from each other. Don't let that be us. We all believe in preventative maintenance for our cars. We know that if we don't change the oil when it's supposed to be, if we don't have maintenance done to it, we're probably not going to get good service out of our car. Well, relationships take constant maintenance. Okay? They take all of these things to continue to keep it healthy. So make sure that you take the time to pull over, sync your itineraries to avoid marital blow up. Okay? Decide now that you will keep up with this kind of maintenance all along the way. Don't let yourself get 20 or 30 years down the road with a successful career and a retirement plan and your kids off to college, but all the things that you've poured into ends up being gone and you realize that your spouse is a stranger. We talked about that earlier, right? Mm-hmm. Ask yourself now, what extra thing in my schedule could be set aside to improve our time for relational development? Invest the time now in syncing your itineraries so you can enjoy the journey together. Okay. Any questions or comments on what we looked at today? Okay, then let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll take a short break. Dear Lord, we come to you once again today. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. And I just pray, thank you for this time that we have to gather today. We thank you for these folks that's come out and, Lord, the desire to have good relationships. And I just pray that you would help us to take these principles and appropriate them to our lives, Lord. I pray that we could see the importance of spending our time wisely, prioritizing our spouses, our family, and especially prioritizing our walk with you. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us in these things, Lord. And I pray be with the rest of the service here today, Lord, and have your will and your way in it. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And amen.